علی و اولاد علی صلوات. Allah has 99 names. If you are able to embody those names, you're definitely Ahlul Jannah. So if we've done 33, we've only got 66 left to go. It's not a lot. And hopefully, just as you've got them on your chart, we will be uploading the talks and a book on the website. So you can go there and download them or come to classes. We'll sort all that out at some point. But the idea is, Jannah would be a very, very lonely place if QBZ wasn't there, wouldn't it? Can you just imagine being in a massive mansion, for example? You're all on your own. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, you may enjoy the peace for what? One day? 2 days? And then? Phone. It doesn't work. Facebook? No. You need people. You need those who are Muhibbe Hussein over there to be able to be with you. So there's no point trying to learn these on our own. We have to do it together. Now I'm just going to recap a little bit. We did Allah. We did Rabb, if you remember. Yes, Allah, you put all the names in a pot, Allah would come out. Rabb was a personalization one. We did Isma'a Adam, Hayy M. You get ever stuck in life? Ya Allah, Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum. You know, they're phenomenal. There is something in them that... I don't know. The three R's, remember?
Yes.
Come on, you better tell me. Rahman, Rahim, and Rauf. There you go. And then we had the other three R's as well. After that, we did all the greens. Remember, every single green we did. We did Ghafar, Ghafur, Tawab, and Ghafur. Oh my goodness. Okay. Then we did the blues. You remember the blues? In fact, after that, we did Mujib, which is number 44. We did that on its own. Then we did all the blues, which was based on Ilm, and I said the major two were Alimul, Hakim, you remember that? 19 and 46. Okay. And then yesterday, we went through all the names that you recite in Salah. And then the idea was that you would do the bare minimum in Salah to start with, and you would remember those names as you went along. Okay, that's what we did. Today, I wanted to do 7, but I was being too ambitious. So I'm going to deal with 2. But these 2 deal with what we're going to do tomorrow. So tomorrow, inshallah, for many of you, it is the day of Ashura. For some people, today is the day of Ashura. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit. Stay with me. So almost everyone on the day of Ashura will recite the ziyarah of Aba Abdil Masjid. Yes, that's what we do. Maybe you will do the amal of Ashura, but let me just talk about the ziyarah first. So ziyarah comes from zaw. Zaw means to turn away. Literally to turn away. To turn your back or something. So a za'ir is somebody who turns away from everything and everyone but the one he is focused on. So when you do the ziyarah, cut yourself out from everyone. Like we did yesterday, Allahu Akbar, conversation with Allah. When we're talking about the ziyarah, our focus is only on Imam Hussein. Now, the only way you and I can focus is if we know him a little. If you're able to, in our words, in my words at least, for the last 8 days, we've been doing Asma'ul Husna. What are the Asma'ul Husna that we can combine with him? Definitely, he was the embodiment of all the Asma'ul Husna that we've done. So today we're going to look at 2, and I'm going to keep you waiting for a minute. So in essence, ziyarah also means to color yourself with the attributes of the one you are visiting. That's what it means. Right? For example, if I went to a child's birthday party, say your grandchild was, I don't talk too much about grandchildren, but say your grandchild was going to be 1 or 5 or whatever. When the grandchild is 1, they don't understand much. But you will still come down to their level. You will crawl with them. When they're 5, if they're a girl, they'll be princesses and it'll be pink or the new Barbie movie. Yes? It'll all be pink, everything will be different. If it is a boy, you will have racing cars and you will have, I don't know what they like. I've got kids, grandkids like different things, right? But you will go into everything that child likes. You bring yourself down to their level so they have a good time. You're not going to make a wedding cake for a 5-year-old's birthday, are you? You're not going to put raisins in it and nothing. You can do what they like. Okay. In the same way, when you do ziyarah, you're coloring yourself with the attributes of Hussein, and you are Husseini. That's the thing you are done, right? So you call yourself Husseini, and it's phenomenal what it does. I'll come to it in a minute. So a couple of things. 60 months, he talks to his companion, Subair. And he says, Subair, do you recite ziyarah every day? He says, no. Every month? No. Well, he didn't say recite, so do you visit Hussein every day? No. Do you go every month? No. Do you go every year? No. So Imam told him, Subair, what is stopping you from going up onto your roof? At that time, that was like your patio or your back garden. Going up to your roof, turning towards Karbala and saying, Assalamu alayka ya Aba. How difficult can that be? It's not difficult. So if you and me, whether it is winter or summer or raining or not, if you just stepped out of your patio, and if you have a greenhouse or, what do they call it, conservatories, if you have a conservatory, okay, don't go out. Yeah. Look at the sky. Go towards Karbala, Assalamu alayka ya Aba. I'm just going to tell you a story so you know how important this is, okay? So there was a person called Mullah Muhammad Yazdi. Mullah Muhammad Yazdi was so worried about his friend, because his friend was a bit of a Scrooge. Do you know what Scrooge is? Yeah, okay. Christmas story. And, you know, his friend was, he was worried about him. And then he's always praying for his friend, doing Fatiha, the bottle for his friend, reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. And one day he sees his friend in his dream. He says, oh my God, you're cheating. You were Scrooge. What happened? He said, none to do with me. He said, I was buried near a lady who was the wife of Ustad Haddad. And as soon as she was buried, everyone around her, Hussein came to visit her, and everything around her became beautiful. So he thought, I gotta find out what this lady did. He goes to Ustad Haddad's home, gives his condolences, sees their little children everywhere. He says, I'm so sorry that you lost your wife. Can you tell me what made your wife so special? He said, she cooked, she cleaned, She looked after the children. There's nothing special that I can think of. He said, there must be something. So, oh, yes, I remember. He said, every day after Salah, she would go up to the roof. She would turn towards Karbala and she would raise the ashes. That's how I know that made my wife different. It's phenomenal. Just this ziyarah. Okay, don't read the whole thing. Assalamu alaikum ya Abba. Teach your children. Wake up in the morning. Salam to their parents first. Assalamu alaikum ya Abba Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum ya Imam Zaman Ajallahu. It's not difficult. You know, the Masumi tell us, when you are, I'm reading the hadith verbatim, when you're confronted with an adversity, then seek redress from Imam Hussein with this ziyarah. Whoever recites it from far or near, there are four advantages. One, your hajat. If you give the wasila of ziyarat al-ashura, they're fulfilled. You get shafa'ah, which you read in the sajda. You want shafa'ah to Hussein, okay? You get jannah. And you get immunity from Jahannam. I mean, nobody likes to have issues, whether it's near or in the here, after. Okay. Hopefully, we'll be reciting Aslamu alayhi about the life we get here. Going back to our names, I'm just going to go first into a little bit, because this is my last module. See, the idea when we do the other two, I'll do them in a minute. Before we do them, you need to personalize your situation with those names. I mentioned before, but when you say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the ism must be replaced with what you and I are going through at that moment. Right? I'm going to give you an example. If you go to Surah An-Nisa, you can write this down and look at it later. Surah An-Nisa, ayah 128 to ayah 130. Surah An-Nisa talks about women. Now these particular three ayahs that I've picked out are based on relationships. A relationship between a man and his wife. So the first ayah says that if a woman fears nushuz, her husband is cheating, or she fears that he's not fulfilling his rights, he's neglecting his rights of looking after her. You know, his money is your money and your money is your money. You know that? That's how it works. So if he's neglecting his rights, please don't go fight with him today, okay? But if he's neglecting his rights and he's doing that, then Allah says the best thing is to compromise. He says suleh, to sit down and compromise. But he says the worst thing is shuf, which is to be greedy of saying my way or the highway. Take it or leave it. He actually tells men and women at that time, compromise, give in. That's the time when you're having these, you know, you're fearing a problem in your marriage. And the two words he uses is wallahu ta'maluna khabir. Ta'malun was ilm. Do you remember we did ilm? 19, and we did khabir, which was 31. In other words, Allah knows what's inside you. So don't pretend. Compromise. Now say it goes to the next stage. This is ayah 129. Now this is a stage where relationship has broken down. Broken down, and one is abusing the other. Have you seen this? When people are so close, and then suddenly they're fighting over the cat. Okay? I'll have the tail and you have the legs. You've seen that, okay? Our picture is mine, and that. Okay. So they're fighting. They're really not saying good things about each other. Here, Allah says, when things are broken down, then he uses the word, tusfihu, which is salama, make peace. Peace between yourselves. But the names he uses is, and he uses tattaqu, which is have taqwa, be God conscious. He uses ghafoor ar-rahima. Allah is forgiving and he is merciful. So even you in that situation, behave with mercy and forgiveness. Now he says, when things are completely broken down. Now they don't get on, they're going to have a divorce. So this is the third one. This is ayah 130. So no longer are they together. So it's difficult. What happens when they're no longer together? And remember, this Quran was revealed 1400 years ago, when women did not have financial security. So when things have broken down, all people who got married early didn't get a chance to study and have a career, and therefore they dedicated their whole lives to their families. Now, legally, once they're divorced, he doesn't have to maintain her. He has to maintain the children. But she's scared. She's staying in this marriage, whether it's abusive or not, and that's not our talk today, but she's staying there because she's scared because there's no financial security. So here, Allah uses the name, he says, Inna Allah wasi'un hakeem. And we'll do the word wasi. Wasi, he means he's limitless. Trust in him and have wisdom. In other words, he's telling the man, don't leave her just like that. What you give will always come back to you. And you'll see what we do to these things. Now, basically what I'm trying to emphasize is that whatever the situation, I've picked the most difficult situation here, use any situation you have, look at those things, and then pick out what works for you on that day, and use those two, or that situation that you're in. Now, Imam tells us, the sixth Imam says, that we are all programmed to love perfection. I mentioned this yesterday at Majlis house, at my friend's house, and the idea of these names is this wonderful song that I love. Oh gosh, she hears songs. Yes, I do. So the one that I like is Tujmera Diktai. And that's basically what these names are about. You want somebody to look at you and think, my goodness, I can see divinity in them. That's what it's talking about. Okay. So we're programmed to love perfection. That's the way we are. And Ziyara, the sixth Imam tells us, is an expression of love. And the love that is wasi, that is unlimited. There is no limit on it. So the two names we're going to look at today is Al-Wadud, and you can look it up, it's 47. I love this one. It's got a heart on it, like Valentine, okay? And then you've got wasi, which is 45. All of us, every single one of us, wants love that is unlimited, that has no boundaries on it, that accepts you and me as we are. So we're going to look at wadud first, okay? So wadud comes from the word wud, basically, okay? And you could write, we'll look at the words later. And in essence, the Arabic word pattern is fa'ul, which means extreme. And wud actually means to desire something, to want something so much, but with a sense of hope that it will be yours. That's what wud is. In fact, when Allah describes marriage in Surah Ar-Rum, He says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah places in you this mawadda and this rahmah, this yearning, this special love, this selfless love. So whenever you think of wud, you think selfless. He wants nothing back. Take a little bit of a note. There's selfish love and selfless love. Selfish love is, I will love you as long as I can get something back. So I will love you as long as I get what I want. But the moment I don't get what I want, I will stop loving you. Selfless love loves beyond that. It doesn't want anything back. Normally a mom, a parent, a nurturer does that to you, that selfless love, okay? So wud in essence is this. Now here, al-wadud is someone who yearns, who wants to meet you and me, the ones who love him. So how do I get him to love me? I mean, how do I portray myself as someone who he loves? Surah number 3, ayah 31. Qul, Muhammad tells them, in kuntum tuhibun Allah. And why won't we love him? Because his love doesn't change, you know? If you love Allah, fattabi'uni, follow me, the Prophet says. Yuhibbukum Allah, Allah will love you. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, he will forgive you your sins. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Have you seen a mom? Even when her child is naughty, she will make an excuse. She will say, ye to shararat hai. She won't say that child is naughty. If the child says something like, oh my goodness, your child is a bit, talking a bit, you know, it's a bit rude. She says, no, it's just being assertive. You see that mom said? They will change everything into something that is positive. I mean, I look at my grandchildren and sometimes I think, God, they're going to fall. Have you thought that about your grandchildren? And stuff? God, parents are there. And they say, no, he's just being brave. Are you serious? Brave? But that's what parents do. And that's what Allah tells you. He says, I will love you. I will cover up all your faults. And I will make anything that is bad, I will make it look good. That's wadud. And why wouldn't we want to have wadud, right? Two places in the Quran where wud comes up or where wadud comes up. The first place in Surat al-Buruj. Surat al-Buruj, surah number 85, talks about constellations. But in essence, the surah talks about Ashab al-Ukhdud. Ashab al-Ukhdud were people who were very righteous. And they were put in the trench by those who were around them because they couldn't handle the fact that these people loved Allah. They wanted them to love their leaders. They didn't want them to love Allah. They put them in a trench of fire. And Allah mentions wood theirs. It's phenomenal. Please read it. The second one is Surah Al-Hud. When Prophet Hud talks to his people and he says, you know what? You may have gone really far away from Allah, but all you need to do is do istighfar, do a U-turn, and you will find that you will be those special people near Allah. Nobody is lost in his way. You always come back. And then the one that I really love, Surah Maryam, ayah 96, where it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا. Those who believe, and those who manifest their belief with deeds that repair, that put people together. If there's a broken heart, they will put that heart together. If they find somebody is lost, they will get them to, they will find them. If they find somebody who doesn't have parents, they will become their parents, so on and so forth. That is Amul Asaliya. He says he will instill in that heart wood, that love, that endless, limitless, beautiful love that only Allah has. It's absolutely phenomenal. Now, when I ended yesterday, I ended with the salam of salah. And I told you that when you finish salah, or the Prophet finished salah, Ma'ad ibn Jabal, you remember, he said to Ma'ad ibn Jabal, Uhibbuka, I love you. That's what he said. And then he, which meant literally, may Allah envelope you with his attribute of salam, but he said, Allahumma anta salam wa minkum salam. Do you remember that? And yesterday it was quite amazing. I can't see her, she must be there somewhere. So a couple of people came up and said, Uhibbuka. But the most beautiful thing was a child. I'm not even sure who she was. But she called me and she said, I'm sorry to disturb you, but I love you very much. Oh. And to me, that is what you take back. That is what it's about. Literally, to finish Salah and to say, Uhibbu ki or Uhibbu ka. You know the way I remember it? Because many of us don't speak Arabic. In Gujarati, Kaka is a man, right? Kaki is a woman. So Uhibbu ki is for a woman, Uhibbu ka is for a man. And you'll finish. You could say it in Urdu. I love you very much. I don't know, maybe it's a word. Okay. Allahumma anta salam wa minkas salam. You are salam, and from you there is salam. Now, ziyar. Going back to my love and ziyar, I'm putting them together. When you greet Imam with this salam and with this wood, right? This wood in my love to be Hussein. I love Hussein, that's why I'm here. Then, what do you know in fiqh about salam? I'm not going to do fiqh, I'm not a fiqh. So, the moment you say salam, the answer is wajib. Right? Imam is alive, is it not? Why? Because Quran in Surah number 3, ayah 169 says, لا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا. Do not even think of those who have given their lives in the way of Allah as dead. وَلَحْيَانْ إِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ. They are alive with their Rabb, or Rabbihim, يَرْزُقُونَ. He provides them with sustenance. Now, if you say, السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله, what is he saying to you? وعليك السلام. When you have an entity who is so close to God, who is like literally godly, right? When you have that entity saying, wa alayhi salam, I mean, what other peace do you need? What do you need? And where are you going to stop to say, assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah? And where are you going to stop to recite the Arde? Ashra, you can't stop. You just cannot stop. You want to read it all the time. I just want to set a bit of a scene before I go into La'na, because everybody tells me I don't like the word curse. La'na, what is that talking about? I'm going to talk about it in a minute. But before that, please do not stop saying salam on the day of Ashura. I find people don't say salam. This question was posed to Sayyid Sistani, and he said that is wrong. It is really wrong. So meet each other, hold hands, and say assalamu alayki or assalamu alaykum, whatever you say. And then you may say, A'adham Allahu ujurana wa ujurakum. You don't have to say it in English. basically you are saying that may Allah reward you for your grief. You can think it while you're doing salam, and you can say bin Musab bin Abdul Hussein. And the reason is that in essence, for pondering over the detrimental effects of injustice. The reason why we are so passionate about la'na, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, is because you and I never come to a stage where somebody sends la'na on us. Now, what is la'na? La'na is not curse. The English translation is awful, absolutely awful. I don't know why they put it there. La'na is actually a dua, where you are asking Allah to withdraw His mercy. Basically, withdraw His guidance. You're saying they're opposed to your guidance so much. I'll give you an example. It's a very coarse example, but maybe you'll understand. Say I said to you just now, I'm really thirsty. Do I not say every day, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim? I want guidance. So I told you I'm really thirsty. So you brought me a glass of water, and in front of you, I spilled it out. So you brought me another one because you thought maybe her arms are shaky. She's getting old, she might have dropped it, right? So you brought me another one. In front of you, I tipped it out. So you brought the third one, and I tipped it out. And you brought a fourth one, and I tipped it out. What are you going to do? You're going to give up after all. Even if I'm your child, even if I'm very, very close to you, you will say when you're ready to take this water, come and take it, because you're just spilling it. Sorry, I have to mention something here. You know, on the way from Karbala to Damascus, there's this little girl who's really, really thirsty. And the army of Yazid are giving water to their animals. And she tells Sayyidah Zainab, she says, Aunt, can I think I can have some water? And she says, I wouldn't ask these people. She said, they will give me some water. So she goes to these people and she says, a little bit of water. I'm really thirsty. So they said, Sakina, where's your vessel? Where's your glass? Where's your water bag? She didn't have one. So they said, well, stretch out your hands. And she stretches out her hands. And they pour the water on the sand, but they don't give it to the little girl. That is when you lose that wadh, when you lose that rahmah. Okay. So when you think about it, think when we say la'na, we're not saying it just like that. We're drawing of mercy, right? There's so many la'nas in Quran. There's la'na on shaitan for refusing to acknowledge Prophet Adam as his prophet, as a prophet of Allah. That's surah number 4, ayah 118. You have la'na on ashab al-sabt, who broke the rules. This is surah number 5, ayah 60. You have la'na on those who hide the truth, surah al-Baqarah, ayah 159-69. I'm not going over all of them because it's going to take time. There's la'na in Mubahila, 361. Then there is la'na in Surah Al-Ahzab, which we read in Amale Ashura, on those who hurt the Prophet. In al-Ladina yu'udhuna al-Rasul, those who hurt the Prophet. Now, if you ask the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, who do you love? What would he say? Fatima tu bid'atu min. Fatima is a part of me. What else would he say? What else would he say? Husaynu minni wa ana min al-Husayn. So you see this la'na, it's talking about hard-hearted people. You know, today, in the name of Islam, you have Daesh or ISIS. Right? It's the same thing. What Islam is that? What are we talking about? By killing people, by hurting people. That's not part of Islam. That's not who you are. Okay. So I'm going to look at wasi, which is limitless. So are you good with wadud? That heart. You want that, right? You want to be Hussein. In a heart which is Hussein. That's it. That's all you need. Wasi is limitless. So wasi comes from root words which are yasa'u or wasi, which means somebody who expands, somebody who makes bigger. The opposite is dhayyik, which is narrow or tight. But here, in essence, I think in Dua Kamer we say, Allahumma bi rahmatika alladhi wasi'at kulla. Your rahmah, which is just absolutely everywhere, okay? Now, Allah's way is limitless, absolutely limitless. There's no such thing as, if He gets it, I won't get it. I know in Stanmore, where I come from, and I absolutely adore Stanmore. Okay, I'm a Koja. I love it to bits. Just as much as I love QBZ, I love Stanmore. But I know on a Thursday, they read the names out of the marhumin, and it's such a long list. You know, it just goes on and on and on. And I remember somebody was sitting near me, and she said, oh, I forgot to pay the £2. So they didn't put my father's name on there. But after that list, they say this Fatiha is for kul marhumin and didn't they say that? And they don't read a separate Fatiha for each of us. Otherwise, we'd be there till midnight. If you have a list of 60, can you imagine doing a tasbih of Surah Al-Fatiha? So they, but I paid for the Fatiha, and they should have made it specifically for my father. Allah is wasi. You read one, He will make sure everybody gets it. It's not like it's mine and my place. If I give, He will give me 100 times more, 1,000 times more. It's not going to take anything from you and me. Whilst in the Quran, you find it in the context of giving, in the context of power, in the context of getting married. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He says, وَأَنْكِهُ الْأَيَامَ. Marry amongst yourselves. And then he says, if you feel that you don't have enough money to marry, or you don't have any wealth to get married, then He will enrich you. And He says, وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Don't use that as an excuse. Don't do that. Very often we see people use that. He sustains this nafs. I mean, I could go on and on about it. Now, part of the test of love, a limitless love, is sacrifice. Or the result of limitless love is sacrifice. You see moms sacrifice, you see people sacrifice, volunteers sacrifice. When you see the volunteers here or anywhere you go, they are those cogs that keep this place going. And sometimes we don't realize it. We are attracted to those who portray love and sacrifice. That is why we like Romeo and Juliet. We like Leila and Majnun. Because there was a sacrifice for love. That is why we're drawn here. Because it's only love that makes a heart a heart. And it's only this limitless, unconditional love that makes a heart a heart. So I'm going to look at the opposite, because the Prophet said that if you want to learn something, look at its opposite. تَعْرِفُ الْأَشْيَا بِأَجْدَادِهَا. If you love truth, are you going to love falsehood? No. If you love justice, you will not love injustice. It just goes on and on and on. So you will manifest this with you. Now what I'd like you to do is, where you've got wasi, can you just like father there? Just like father, okay? Because wasi is part of father. Father actually means a bonus. Because it's Friday, I've picked this up. So if you look at Surah Al-Jumu'ah, which I hope you've all recited, because it keeps you safe from today to next Friday. Come on, it's not that long. How many ayat has it got? 11? Yes? Or you don't know? Okay, Google it or look at it. 11 ayat, it keeps you standing. One Friday to the next, it protects you. So here in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Allah says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. What is the fadl? The fadl is the Quran and the Ahlul. Wait, then he tells you again on Friday. He says, وَإِذَا قُضِيَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. When the salah is finished, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Go spread out in the earth. And what you're supposed to do? وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Look for the fadl, the grace of Allah. The extra, the bonus, the limitless, the whatever it is. Guidance for us is an extra. It really is. Being here, Hussein is an extra. He's a fadl. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ Rabbi, this is the fadl of my Rabb. So if you can't do anything tomorrow, just ponder over wadud, ponder over wasi, ponder over fadl, and another name for wadud, you know, is mahabba of hub. And we don't have time to go into it. But these are things that we need to ponder over tomorrow. And if you can find it in yourselves, recite Ziyarat al-Ashura. You can't recite Ziyarat al-Ashura, you find it difficult, just that last bit. As-salamu ala al-Husayn, wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn, wa ala awladi al-Husayn, wa ala ashabi al-Husayn. Kalas. Just keep on reciting it. Recite through the class. Recite that bit. It's fine. It doesn't matter. That's what you need to do. But there's probably bits in Ziyarat al-Ashura, and I'll just take up a couple of things. I'll sort of pick them out to think maybe we will be able to recite those at some point in our life. There are two things. Allahumma jal mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Keep it simple. So in every kunut, when you say Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban, you can add in Allahumma jal mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. We can't do it in Arabic. It's okay. Ya Allah, let me lead the life of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And let me die on a death where I can say, I died in Ahlul Bayti. That's it. I want to live as an Ahlul Bayti. I want to die as an Ahlul Bayti. You can't have Ahlul Bayti, say AB. He knows. You good? I want to be an AB. I want to die in AB. In your kunut. It can't be that difficult. Okay? But today, we're looking at a phenomenal personality. I mean, I look at him and I think, oh my goodness, who are you? So we can look at Ali al-Akbar, right? The first shaheed. Now one thing that the kids get very confused with, little ones, is that when we have these days, you know, 8th this one, 7th this one, 6th this one, they don't know what happened. We're only commemorating them on these days because it gives us more time. Otherwise, on the day of Ashura, Maqatir would continue and continue and continue. It's a good job to read Maqatir on the day of Ashura because it gives you the whole day from Fajr till Maghrib, and then it goes to Sham-e Ghareeba. So read about it. It has been recorded in many, many books, and today it's translated in English as well. The first Shaheed of Banu Hashim is Ali al-Akbar. Okay? Ali al-Akbar is buried at the feet of his father. You go to Karbala? He's buried at his feet. He was 27 years old on the day of Ashura. Younger than him is Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad was between 22 and 23 on the day of Ashura. Now, the people in the army of Yazid wanted to kill off the line of Imamah. So the first thing they asked of was, who is Ali ibn al-Hussein? And when they saw Ali al-Akbar come out, in their heads, it is the eldest who came out. So they thought, if we kill him, that's it, khalas, Imamah will end. They did not know that the Imamah was with Imam Sajjad. Many things come up with Imam Sajjad, that he was ill because he was actually getting a well for the children, trying to dig it with his own sword and his own hands. But if he had fever because of the sun, whatever it might be. And many times in our munajat, we call him Bimare Karbala. I have to mention this because you can't. So this is not one of my words. Shahid Mutahari says, that just imagine, I'm going to take my example. I used to go to the States a lot when my mama was there. So if I went to the States and I came back, I fell ill over there, and I came back, and Seda said, today the majlis is by Bimare America. Am I going to feel good? No. Because that does not say anything about me except that I fell ill in America. Bimare Karbala is not a title. Sajjad, Zainul Abidin. Shahid Mutahari said, I was invited to a sufra of Imam Zainul Abidin. He said, all the food had no spices in them. So he said, I told the men, have your wives gone on strike? Have all the spices finished? Why is it all boiled food? What's wrong? And they said, it's the sufra for Bimare Karbala. So the food is everything that you give to somebody who's ill. See how the brain works? So no, Imam Sajjad, please, call him Sajjad, call him Zainul Abidin. He was a phenomenal personality. Maybe in Ashur Zainabiyya you will hear more about him. So now, Ali al-Akbar is the dua of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein prayed for a child who would look like the Prophet. You know, if you're going to have more children, or if you're already pregnant, you can make a list. You know that, don't you? Of all the things you want that child to be. I mean, don't ask for blue eyes if it's not in the family at all. But generally, you would like to make a list of all the things. And you can. If it's in your genealogy, use that. If you want other attributes, just make a list and see how wonderful it becomes. So this was his dua. I want my son to look like the Prophet. And you know what? He was exactly like the Prophet. In fact, people would knock at the door of Hussein in the night and say, Hussein, wake up your son. We've come for hours just to see the image of the Prophet. We've come to see the person who looked like the Prophet one day. Ali al-Akbar comes to Imam Hussein and says, I have a complaint about Abbas. Complain about Abbas? Hussein said, I will not listen to this unless Abbas is sitting here. A lesson for you and me. So they sit down, and he says, whenever I go out with him, whenever I go to the market with him, he bows his head down. He's ashamed to go with me. Ali Al-Akbar says that to Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein says, Abbas, do you want to answer him? He says, I am tall. People want to see him. So I bow down so they can see him because he looks like the Prophet. But because I'm ashamed of him. That was Ali Al-Akbar. When he goes out to the battlefield, his father says, Ya Allah, bear witness that he who looks like the Prophet and acted like the Prophet is coming to you. Who was his mother? His mother was Layla bint Abu Murra bin Urwa bin Masood al-Thaqafi. Need to tell you this, who this was. Urwa bin Masood al-Thaqafi, her grandfather, was a phenomenal man. So Urwa is somebody who was known as one of the two great men of Arabia. If you look at Surah Al-Furqan, it will tell you that the Arabs said, why wasn't this Quran revealed to these two men? Why to this person who's yatim, who's the orphan, who doesn't have anything, knows nothing? And one of these men was Urwa. In the battle, in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Quraysh sent Urwa to go and see. They said, what is this about Muhammad that people like him so much? And Urwa comes back. This is grandfather of Ali Al-Akbar. Urwa comes back and he says to them, this is grandma, by the way. So he comes back and he says that, you know what? There is something about Muhammad. When he does wudu, his soldiers want a bit of the water that is spilling from him. There's something about him. When the Prophet tells him about Allah, he converts. He converts in the sense he becomes a Muslim. When he becomes a Muslim, he tells his people of Banu Thaqif, who kill him, who stone him, and the Prophet called him Mu'mine Ale Yasin, Habib. He said, this is my Habib. His last words were, I have died under the shelter of Muhammad. Who is this? Ali Akbar's grandfather. Okay, now let's come back to Layla, that means his mother, right? So Layla's mom, Maymuna. You know who Layla is? This is his mother, right? Yeah. Okay, sorry, this is great-grandfather. Layla's mom is Maymuna. Maymuna is Yazid's first cousin. You get that? So Maymuna is Yazid's first cousin. Muawiyah and Layla's mom are brother and sister. You got the picture here now? Okay. So, Day of Ashura. Ali Al-Akbar gives Adhan, okay? And he comes out on the battlefield. First person of Banu Hashim. On one side is mom's family. On one side is dad's family. So much so that when Muawiyah was asked, who do you think will take over after you? He said, it should be Ali al-Akbar. It should be Ali ibn al-Hussein. And he gave all the qualities of Ali ibn al-Hussein. Can you imagine walking out on the battlefield? Nana on one side, Dada on the other. That's him. And when he comes out, he fights bravely. A phenomenal fight. Absolutely phenomenal. And then he comes back and says, Baba, really thirsty. Really tired. Baba, this armor is so heavy. Baba, if you give me a little bit of water, I will prove to you who I am. Baba, just a little bit of water. Baba doesn't have any water. But Baba accompanies him back to the battlefield and he says, my son, don't worry. Soon the Prophet will give you water that will quench your thirst. He goes back to fight. But there's one Murra bin Munqid. And he says, I will make Hussein cry. Because Ali Akbar fights bravely. And then the Arabs did not have this treacherous thing in them. They had one-to-one combat. They had a certain way of fighting which was disciplined. But Murra hides on a tree, and when Ali Akbar is surrounded, he plunges a spear in his chest. Now imagine his father. Just imagine his father. Ali Akbar holds on to the horse, and when he holds on to the horse, this Murra hits him on the head with a sword, and he runs towards the enemy lines and pelts him. When Imam Hussein hears his voice, when he says, As-salamu alayka ya abi, oh my father, accept my salams from here. He runs in the opposite direction. Sakina tells him, Baba, where are you going? He says, I can't see
Baba, that is towards Najaf. You have to go towards the battlefield. When Baba comes to the sight of his son, he says, Ya Ali, you may have lifted the door of Khaybar, but you did not have to pull out a spear from your son's chest. Saying, Ya Ali, he pulls out this child, it's a spear. He carries his child to the tents. He puts him down and he says, My son, after you, the world is nothing but dust. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ سَيَعْلَمُونَ الَّذِينَ